Hey everyone, it's Derek here. Welcome back to another episode of Beyond the Abstract. I'm here with Dan. How's it going, Dan?
I'm good, except there's something that's so bright coming through the screen that I'm getting blinded. What is that, Derek?
Well, you know, Beyonce said, if you like it, you should have put a ring on it. And that's exactly what Jeremy did. So the rumors are true. I'm engaged.
We can put all the rumors to rest now. How does it feel to be a taken man?
It feels, I don't know. I'm just really excited and I'm really happy. And Jeremy surprised me and he did it at home and it was just really, really sweet. And I'm excited to spend the rest of my life with him.
Aw, love to hear it. What have you guys done to celebrate?
He booked us a couples massage and then made us reservations at Zahav, which is one of like a really well-known restaurant in Philadelphia.
Amazing.
And then we had some friends over afterwards for drinks to celebrate.
Amazing.
Didn't see you there though.
You FaceTimed me in from Boston. Just as good.
And how's your dating life, Dan?
Thriving, Derek. Just thriving.
Slowly flips the bird at me. Not to completely pivot from what we were just talking about, but today's episode's going to be on organ transplantation. Dan, why should we even care about organ transplantation?
Well, Derek, there are a lot of reasons. Mainly because organ transplants can save lives. Many organs fail, and not surprisingly, we need them. The most common organ that's transplanted are kidneys, but also livers, pancreas, and heart are also transplanted. The main challenge is that there are more people who need these organs than organs available for donation. To give you a sense, about 100,000 people in the US are waiting for organs, and about half that number are transplanted per year. And about half of those transplants are kidneys and about 10% hearts. But tragically, thousands of people die on the organ transplant waiting list every year because there just aren't enough organs.
In the hospital, we see a lot of patients who need organs, and it's quite sad. There are all sorts of reasons kidneys fail, for example. Two of the most common reasons are actually complications of common diseases, such as diabetes and hypertension. But there is a long list of other diseases that can cause kidneys and other organs to fail. Also, fun fact, if you get a kidney transplant from a human, typically your old kidney actually stays and you just get a third kidney down by your hip. It seems like organs from animals would be ideal for organ transplant into humans because it gets around the primary issue of organ shortage. What sorts of animals are good candidates for this, Dan?
We always hear that monkeys are the closest to humans, so it might seem like they would be ideal for transplant, but there are a couple issues. First, there are just not that many monkeys out there, so there might be an access issue. And second, in monkeys, there's more of a fear that they might carry infectious diseases like viruses that would be brought over along with the organ.
Okay, so why isn't everyone getting pig kidneys and hearts? What's the issue?
There are at least four barriers in the way of pig organ transplantation. The first and probably the most significant has to do with the immune system. The immune system, of course, is the part of our body responsible for defending us against invaders. And if you put a kidney or heart from a pig into our body, our immune system would understandably freak out and attack it, since to our immune system, it looks like an invader, and the organ wouldn't function for very long. The second barrier is differences in how the organ can function under ideal conditions. There may just be some differences in how the organ does its job that causes issues when it's transplanted into humans. For example, part of the job of the kidney is to keep the concentration of various minerals in the blood within a tight range. And there's some evidence in monkeys, for example, that some of those levels might be different. The third barrier is concerns about infection. The issue would be if an infectious agent, again like a virus, lived in the transplanted organ, then once transplanted, that virus could infect the human, and that would not be great. And the last barrier is ethical. Should we be harvesting organs from animals? Some people think that's unethical.
The primary approach to making xenotransplantation possible has been to think about how to make the immune system chill out and let the new organ exist in the body. This is done through two approaches. One, making the immune system of the person receiving the organ more relaxed, and two, making the donated pig organ look less foreign. The first approach, making the immune system of the person receiving the organ more relaxed, isn't too foreign to us. It's called immunosuppression, and it's what is done when you get a normal organ donation from another human. It involves taking medications that reduce the potency of the immune system, therefore making it less likely to go after the donated organ. This, of course, has side effects of having a less functional immune system, namely higher risk for infections and actually cancer, since the immune system has a role in removing cancer cells from the body and in fighting things like bacteria. The second approach is making the donated pig organ look less foreign, and this is where there have been advances in recent years. Basically, researchers have used gene editing tools to delete molecules normally found on a pig organ that would freak out the human immune system, and actually added some molecules on the surface of the organs, making it less likely to be attacked by the immune system.
That's super neat. So, to review, it sounds like the biggest barrier to pig organ transplant is that the immune system of the human recipient freaks out and attacks the organ. But two ways around this is giving a medicine to calm down the immune system or using genetic engineering on the donated pig organ to make the organ look less foreign. It really sounds like something out of science fiction.
Doctors have transplanted pig hearts into humans twice in the past year alone. The first case was performed in early 2022 in Baltimore at the University of Maryland. The patient's name was David Bennett, a 57-year-old man. He unfortunately had a failing heart and he was too sick to be a candidate to receive a human heart transplant. His surgeons offered him a pig heart and he agreed. As we mentioned before, scientists had used gene editing on this pig to make it easier for his immune system to accept. They had deleted three genes that would have freaked out his immune system, knocked out another gene that would prevent the heart from growing too big in his body, and added in six genes that would make it easier for his body to accept the organ. They also heavily suppressed his immune system, and then they just went for it. And it kind of worked for a while. The heart worked on its own for nearly 2 months. Unfortunately, it stopped working well at that point, and Mr. Bennett passed away. The researchers and doctors were encouraged. They avoided an immediate rejection by the immune system. In studies of the heart over the past year, it's not 100% clear why it failed, but likely slower brewing immune system activity. There was a second similar case earlier this year in fall of 2023 with a similar outcome, where after transplant, the patient lived for about 6 weeks. What else is the frontier these days of transplanting organs from animals to humans?
So we've talked about transplanting hearts, but of course, kidneys are the most commonly transplanted organ right now. One particularly productive group has been a team at NYU who have been transplanting pig kidneys into humans, and they seem to work well. These were transplantations into brain-dead recipients, but there's a good reason to believe that they might work in a broader population as well. As an aside, the pig kidney donation work at NYU has been led in part by a transplant surgeon named Robert Montgomery, and this surgeon has a remarkable story. A disease runs in his family called dilated cardiomyopathy, which is a condition where the heart becomes weaker and puts you at risk of life-threatening heart rhythms. He went into surgery residency and had to actually take a few years off to have a defibrillator device put in. And during this time, he got a PhD in immunology. And in 2018, he actually got a heart transplant himself from a human, not a pig. And it's worked so well that he's back operating, including leading these studies of kidney donations from pigs. It's really a remarkable story.
Hey, future Derek here. Even the short time since we recorded this episode, there's been exciting advances in the field of xenotransplantation. This time, instead of a pig heart, a patient by the name of Rick Slayman received the first pig kidney transplant that was genetically engineered to be more immunologically tolerable at Massachusetts General Hospital. Rick was quite sick and would have likely had to wait many years for a human kidney transplant, but as of April 3rd, 2024, he was discharged just 2 weeks after his surgery. The kidney seems to be functioning well, and Mr. Slayman seems to be doing well as well. It'll take some time before we can truly assess just how successful the transplant is, but the promise of genetically engineered pig kidneys greatly expanding the supply of kidneys for patients is super exciting. All right, now back to the episode. It is really cool, just the idea of using gene editing and using all the knowledge we've accrued on the immune system and organ transplantation to essentially be able to make humans more tolerant of these organs from entirely different species. It's kind of crazy.
Absolutely. The way that I think about it is that there's this difference between a pig heart and what the human body will accept. And you could reconcile that difference either by giving the human a ton of immunosuppressive medication or by changing the pig heart to look like a human heart. And the idea here is that we're kind of meeting in the middle, that we're immunosuppressing a little bit or a lot, and using gene editing to make the pig heart look more human. But the real benefit of using gene editing to make the pig heart look more human is that you don't have to immunosuppress theoretically as much as you would otherwise. And that's a really big benefit because, as we talked about before, when you give immunosuppressive medications, sure, you might not reject the organ, but there are all sorts of side effects that come along with that. More susceptibility to infection and risk for cancer, among others.
I'm just really excited for when they start doing brain transplants because I'm pretty sure med school has put me down to my last brain cell.
Who would you want a brain transplant from, Derek?
Ooh, like what animal?
Or what type of person?
I would want a turtle. A nice turtle brain.
Your turtle in your apartment does seem very calm. I think you benefit from some of his disposition.
It's too bad they don't do personality transplants, right, Dan? Because I know two podcast hosts in need of them. All right. Well, I really enjoyed these stories that are really an intersection of like biology and like technology and medicine and surgery. It is extremely cool. And I'm excited for, you know, all the people it could potentially help in the future. This was a nice one, Dan.
Absolutely. Thanks, Derek. Talk to you soon.